Right, Jordan.
Are we on?
We're on, pal.
Alright, mate.
You had a good week?
Yeah, back in training. I hate training, like, so.
Why, you been injured?
Yeah, done my calf, missed a few games, but they won without me. They put a winger up top, Tomo, and it's like, he's just mad. He's the maddest footballer I've ever seen. He just runs rapid, but he's been doing well, so he's been dogging me, saying, I'm not getting back in.
Do you think you will?
We'll see. We need a point on Saturday to win the league, so hopefully I'll be back in.
So just one point?
One point.
Where are you playing?
Whitby away.
Oh, is that a, so if you win, is that an overnight stay or what? Will you stay out?
No, so we've got the bus is going back. If we win it, the bus is going back at 10 o'clock, so we'll get back to Bury about 1. Oh, and then a few of the lads are planning all sorts, but we can't really plan yet because we've not won it, so... It's like
that'd be a dangerous bus on the way home, won't
it? If we win it, anything happens. Yeah, but obviously the lads that don't drink are like
fuming.
Why are we setting off back at 10 o'clock at night? Like, what are we gonna do? But fuck them. So, it's their problem, isn't it?
Oh, so that'd be great though. It'd be great if you could win it.
Yeah. Ninth promotion.
Yeah. Do you think you'll make it 10?
Hopefully, yeah. I'll have to go somewhere. Well, might go up again next season.
Yeah, you never know. Corey came to watch you, didn't he?
Yeah.
He surprised you?
Yeah, so he thought he was coming to like a Sunday league ground because of what you'd been saying.
He didn't know they had a stand.
So I was walking past with an hot dog and he shouted me. He was like, I can't believe it here. I didn't know it'd have stands in a clubhouse. I was like, what did you think Ratcliffe was like?
It's coming to a Sunday league pitch.
Yeah, I don't know what he was thinking, but... Yeah, so my dad come past and was like, who's this? I was like, Corey. He was like, the Corey for the podcast.
Didn't he?
Shit, Tash. So Corey got hammered for a bit.
I've just been dogging him now with the state of his beard. He's like, I think I first met him 5 or 6 years ago and he's not had a shave since.
No, exactly.
He's been growing it.
He looks homeless.
He does. He looks like a homeless Jeremy Beadle. But on the other hand.
How'd you get so good at tech on the streets? What have you been up to?
What have I been up to? Just work. Yeah, work. Went bit down to London a couple of times. I drove down to Bristol the other night to watch Bristol City versus Blackburn. Bristol City hammered them 5-0.
Yeah, I seen that.
Couldn't believe it.
My mates are Blackburn fans. They weren't happy.
I'm not surprised. There were like 600-odd fans travelled all that way.
It's
a good 4 or 5 hour drive to get thrashed 5-0. That's as a fan, that's
the worst day ever.
You give up. Mm. Well, I just wouldn't bother, would you? 2-0 at half time, they ended up 5. He did well then. Yeah. Yeah. He had the better half. See, there are them games though, especially as a like a winger flair player, aren't you? If you don't get the ball, you can't do anything. No.
Well, we'll ask our guest about that because he's a winger and flair player that I never knew about.
Well, to be honest with you, it's the first time in a very long time I've been in a room where I'm the second best looking lad in the room.
Yeah, he's a good looking chap.
He's a good looking chap, and I might have to ban my missus from watching this.
Am I third or am I fourth?
Well, how many of us is there?
Four.
No, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's 6 of us, you're 7.
Right. So. Yeah, he's up there, isn't he, Evo?
Yeah, good looking lad. Obviously, I've got the Invisaligns in at the minute. Getting used to him. He's got perfect teeth and never touched an Invisalign.
Yeah, and he's getting on a bit now, but his trim is solid as well, isn't it?
He's got
Slate Barbers, Rami. Told me to give a shout out for a
Slate Barbers. I got Slate Barbers. Big shout out to James.
And
what
Tom.
What a guy. And Tom.
And Tom, yeah.
James and Tom.
And Lynch. Danny, fuck your trim up.
Yeah, I can't give a shout out to Danny. Like Stevie Wonder had cut it. I can't do that. He's got a lovely barnet, great hairline. Yeah. Cheers, lads.
By the way, it's Gareth Evans, if you didn't know. So he's my teammate at the minute.
Ish. Is he a teammate though? Or is he just training partner?
He's a colleague.
He's a work colleague at the minute and he's the most bothered work colleague ever. So his team was getting hammered in training last night and I was shouting, I told you yellows were shit. And he went, Jordan, I just don't care, mate. I was just running around the pitch.
Yeah, well, you were after a nibble, that's why.
Yeah.
So I was like, nah, you're not getting one. It's not
one. It sounds like you've got to that age where football is no longer a passion.
I don't know. I still love the game. I still love playing. I still love being involved in stuff, but...
How come you don't play then?
That's Bernard Jono, mate.
It's down to them, is it?
Yeah.
No, I don't really know. I think, I got to like 34 and I've done it for like 17, 18 years. And I just got, to be honest, the biggest thing was like, I just got sick of the travel, just got proper sick to death of it. So I was like, I was out the house all the time. I don't think enough people talk about how much as a professional footballer you're out the house, but sometimes they'd be like, especially at Portsmouth, there's not another football club near it really, yeah. Other than Southampton. They're obviously playing in the Prem or the Champ or whatever.
Yeah.
So every away game's a night over. And if it was north of Birmingham, it'd be like you go up on the Thursday and then you stay over, train on the Friday, stay over, play the game. You don't get home until like 3 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning. And I'd done this for like years. And then you might be away again on the Tuesday. So you're out the house like for a full week virtually.
Yeah.
There's little things like that, I think, accumulated. And I just got to the point where I was like wearing thin a little bit. So I decided to go part-time and not the full-time thing.
Yeah, people... Like, you don't really mention that much, do you? Like, how much travelling you do. Like, you've always played kind of...
Lower, so when it...
Well, regionalised, yeah, haven't you? So Conference North or North Prem or whatever. So you've never really...
In like, a way, day, I used to think, buzzing.
Buzzing,
that's
yeah.
me done. But obviously, if you've got a missus at home and you're away kids. Saturday, Tuesday...
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah. And especially if you're not playing.
He was playing that. No, he's not playing at the minute.
I mean, for other footballers, because you generally the whole squad will travel,
yeah.
Especially on the Thursday, and then on the Friday you might finish training. You have your tea in the hotel, then you'll have a meeting, won't you? And they get the board up, and they'll write the team. And if you're travel down there, you're not even in the squad.
Yeah,
like, for God's sake.
Even like at our level, where some of the lads don't get on. And they get home at 10 o'clock at night. They set off at 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm thinking, fuck that.
Yeah, you haven't even played.
Yeah, like what a waste of a day. So,
crap. But you are being paid though.
Yeah.
You got to remember that.
Yeah.
And obviously as a pro footballer, you're being paid very well as well. So it's not all doom and gloom. Or you could just do what I do and just every time you travel to a hotel, just try and chat up one of the staff members and make it worth your while.
Have a weekend of it.
Yeah, just make a weekend of it.
So we got to like 34 and I was just thinking like I've had enough of the professional game. I was getting a few offers in after I'd done a 2-year deal at Bradford and I was getting a few offers in. So I was like Swindon and Walsall and Gillingham and all these places. And I'm like, I've been down south for 5.5 years at Portsmouth and come back home, set
and
up
you're
shop
a Mac Ladder,
there.
Yeah? You're from Macclesfield.
Yeah. But my wife's from Radcliffe. So we ended up living Hawkshaw just outside Ramy. So we set up shop and I'm not moving again. So the offers that were coming in just weren't feasible at all. And then the Radcliffe thing came up, so I went part-time.
It's brilliant that you turned down Swindon, Walsall, who else was it?
Gillingham.
And go to Radcliffe.
What a place.
What a place.
Dream.
Mrs. Hometown team. Is that why you
that
went?
That was partly the reason, honestly, it was. It's just not worked out. It's just the part-time gig's just not.
It's harder. Than
never got going.
It's harder than you think, isn't it? Dropping from full time to part time, just to get not just your mind around it, but your body around it.
Yeah, yeah. I think if you do it the other way, where if you come through the game and you get to, like, say you're 19, 20, and you start off at part time, and maybe you might have a full career in it, you can sort of get your head around it more. But I think I found it tough going from what I was doing, double sessions 3 times a week, training 5 times a week, and then whatever. To then going down to that level where you're training for an hour on a Tuesday, hour on a Thursday, on AstroTurf, turning up on a Saturday, and I'm like, I don't even feel fit. Like,
yeah.
I'm just, and
yeah.
it's a mud bath as well. It's like, it's just not conducive to the way I play football. It just hasn't worked. And I don't really know what it is, but I've enjoyed it. Honestly, I have. Like, being around like a great bunch of lads at Radcliffe.
How have you found them?
To be honest, every person that I speak to, I haven't got a bad word to say.
Yeah.
Honestly, I swear to God, they've been really good.
We've mentioned it loads, aren't we, on here? Like hundreds and hundreds of time. What people's perception of them is nothing like the real John and Bird when you meet them.
Yeah, the reputation goes before them a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And it's like, I think from the Salford documentary and stuff like that, you're thinking, because when they came in, I was thinking it's going to be a rocket up us here, like we're going to get battered all the time, but they're not like that at all. Honest to God, they're good as gold, and they don't even play me, but I still like really respect them, really good guys, still enjoy them. And
see, that takes a lot of doing as well, isn't it? When you're not playing, to still enjoy it and be there.
Yeah.
Because usually, like a lad, like their heads fall off if they don't play. Whereas, the way that they've treated you, you're still happy.
Yeah, I've sort of had in the back of my mind, I'm going to retire. Well, I am going to retire in the next few weeks. So I knew at the end of the season, I was going to pack it in. So I was like, I'm just going to honour the contract. I'm just going to see it down. I don't want to get to like December, January, and just cancel the contract. Yeah. And then that's me walking out of the game. I thought I'll stay to the end of the season. And obviously, the lads have been doing well. So like, well,
be nice to finish. Stay on board, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's what I mean. So stay on board and enjoy it.
Like towards the end of the season.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, once he plays the kids and the idiots like me, he might get a kick. But I don't know. We'll see.
Imagine, right? So we're gonna go through his career now. It's been a good one.
Yeah.
Tuesday night at Ratcliffe, we trained, but they wouldn't put the lights on the Astro.
No, why? The generator broke, didn't it?
The generator broke, so they couldn't put the lights on. So, obviously, once it went dark, that was us done. So we trained for like 45 minutes, and then we went and had about 4 pints and a kebab in the clubhouse. So, like, from that must be tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was difficult to get your head around. You know, and like, you make loads of sacrifices in your professional career and you never have a beer on a Friday and you eat everything right and all that. And then, like I say, I got to like 34 and I was thinking, like, I had enough of it. I had enough of the travel. I had enough of like eating pasta in hotels and all that. But then signing for Radcliffe is like opposite end of the spectrum, mate. It's like they're eating chicken tikka kebabs on a Tuesday night and like literally got, you should have seen the table. It was like at Jordan, it's like pint pots just everywhere. just randomly, just because the generator broke, it's like, oh, we'll just go and have a beer then. But I enjoyed that element of it. Honestly, it's like sometimes I think it's so serious, the professional game, where sometimes you finish a game on a Saturday at Portsmouth and you'd be like, why doesn't just everyone just get in the bar and have a beer together? And like, we just won 3-0 or whatever at home in front of 20,000 people. Everyone just have a beer together and then go home. But it was always like, it's like a massive thing where you can't be seen to be drinking alcohol. That's not professional. And that went on for like 17, 18 years. But then like you say, the Radcliffe thing's the opposite end of the spectrum.
Yeah, I'd have been fucked at Portsmouth.
Yeah, you want to get on the
straight in the bar.
No, but sometimes though, when it's too serious like that, you lose the love of the game as well, because it does just become a job, and you lose the enjoyment that you had as a kid when you just loved playing football. But because everything's so serious, the build up, the training, the preparation, the game, if you don't get anything out of the game, it's like, okay, nice, it's been a crap week.
Yeah. And you've dedicated everything to it as well. So you've slept right, you've eaten right, you've done everything to the letter of the law, and then you go and lose on a Saturday and you're like, well, what was the point of that?
Yeah.
So it's difficult, but then that's just 1 week, but then it accumulates over years and you're like,
yeah,
so much sacrifice goes into being a pro. Honestly, it does.
I used to give myself a sex ban on a Friday before a game, just because I wanted to be like angry and pent up on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly, yeah.
That's why I just punched myself. Same thing, isn't it?
It is, yeah, but it's still a... still a weird thing.
So talking about when you was a kid,
yeah,
you was tipped by Ferguson to be a future star. How did that come about?
Yeah, it's not really panned out, has it?
Right. So I had to try and do the maths, because it said, I was looking on like Wikipedia of your career and it said Crewe Alexander from whatever it was, I can't remember, 1994 or something. I was thinking, 1994? So you were 6.
Yeah.
And you said, started off at Crewe when you were 6.
Yeah, so I started
at 6.
And then
you went to Man United. I don't, like, how does that happen so young?
Yeah, so I was just playing for my local team, Bollington United. And I think one season, I think it was like 6 or 7. We had 18 games that season and I scored 76 goals.
Who were you playing against?
just like, it was just the Stockport Metro League, so it was just like other 6 and 7 year olds, but I'd scoring like 9 goals every game and stuff, like it was daft. And then eventually I think word got around and a scout came down and was like, from Crewe, this was Crewe, so the Crewe scout came down and come down and we'll have a look at him. And so I went down, it was like 7 years old, got picked up, signed on, stayed there till I was 10, and then played against all the best teams like Man U, City, Liverpool, like you name it. And United obviously just picked me up. And then I'm playing in my back garden one day and I'm just like booting the ball around. I was obsessed with football. So I'd just be in the back garden, like kicking the ball constantly against the wall. But the phone rang and my mum's come out in a panic. She's like, Alex is on the phone. And I'm thinking, my best mate, Alex, like, what's he calling me up for? He's like, Alex Ferguson. I'm like, what?
It was Fergie on the phone?
Called my home phone, yeah. I was like, nah, no chance. So she's rung my dad and my dad's at work and my dad's raced home and spoke to him.
That's a long phone call. Hang on, Alex, just wait. His dad's on his way home.
Yeah, but my mum didn't know what was going on. She called him Alec as well. She talks about the story to this day. She's like, I called him Alec because I was like panicking.
And Scottish.
So my dad's raced home and he's on the phone to him for like an hour. And he's just like selling the club to us. We ended up going down, give us the ground tour, introduced us to Sir Bobby Charlton and all
this. And how old were you at the time?
10.
You never get that now, would you? A Premier League manager getting involved in trying to sign a 10-year-old and ringing your home. Like, they just won't do it. They won't even 18, 19-year-olds at the club. Sometimes the manager don't even know about them.
No, don't even have a clue.
No, like... But whatever, Johnny Smith. Which one's Johnny Smith?
Oh, rang his mum the boy.
Yeah, Alex Ferguson's ringing your mum and dad's house.
Yeah,
for a 10-year-old to come and sign. That's
I didn't think anything of it at the time because obviously I'm like 10 years old. But I'm looking back now. I was like, flipping out. That's a big deal for mum and dad. That mega. So yeah, he showed us all around Old Trafford, and like I'm shaking hands with Bobby Charlton. Like Bobby Charlton's my dad's hero. Like me and my dad have been season ticket holders at United since I was two. So. It's like watch United for years, like proper diehard. And he's shaking hands with Bobby Charlton and he's like proper starstruck. And then they just take me in the office and they're like, so are you signing then or not?
You can't say no, can you?
And my mum and dad are looking at me like, I'm like, yeah. I like just signed straight away. And it was good, to be fair. Loved, like I was there for 4 years and I saw the world. Like went to Dallas, Tenerife.
You do all like the junior tours, don't they?
Yeah.
They're brilliant.
Went to Dallas for 2 weeks when I was 10 years old. I'm like waving, like on the coach, waving my mum away and she's like in floods of tears because she's not going to see me for 2 weeks and stuff. But yeah, like Tenerife, Barcelona, Paris, Germany, Holland, like all these places. Saw everywhere. It was unbelievable. I'm like 10 years old, between 10 and 14.
Yeah.
It's like different gravy. But the last year or two that I was there, I was like, I'm starting to think, I'm still a part of it and I want to be playing for Man United, but they just signed Van Nistelrooy, just signed Juan Sebastian Verón, and they spent like big money. And it just seemed at that time where class of 92 had sort of fizzled out a little bit in terms of bringing players through. And I just didn't see a pathway through. I thought if United need a player now, they just go and spend it. They've got that much money.
Yeah,
just go and spend £28 million on Verón. Like they're not bringing young lads through. There's no one coming through.
Were there any ones in your age group who kind of came through?
They used to mix the age group. So I used to play a year up, and in that age group, there'd be like Danny Simpson was in there. And then in my age group, there'd be Fraser Campbell, went on to have a good career.
Yeah.
Ryan Shawcross, obviously not with United, but he ended up being like Stoke. A legend at Stoke. Yeah. So there was a few that came through, and... at that time, but yeah, I got to 14. I was like, I just don't see myself getting into United's first team as much as I love the club.
Yeah.
But then Crewe were producing players where it's like Robbie Savage, Dean Ashton.
Go on, Robbie Savage.
Go on, Robbie.
Big shout out.
Dean Ashton, like Robbo's, Kenny, like all these players. It was just like a conveyor belt
was
of
Dean
talent.
Dean Ashton at Crewe?
Yeah, he came through at Crewe, yeah.
Did
they? They sold him for like a million. Yeah. They sold them for like £1 million and built all the training ground and all that. But they were like a conveyor belt of talent. And I just thought, I'm just going to go back to Crewe and just.
So was it your choice to leave?
Yeah, well, yeah, it was me and my dad's, to be fair. My dad was like in my ear a little bit about it, but it was, yeah.
Your dad agree with it as well? Like,
it's a big decision, that, though, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know, with hindsight, maybe I should have stayed at United and just seen it out and saw what happened, because of obviously what happened with Crewe eventually, but.
I think sometimes, especially at that age, if you can see it out until you're getting like a scholar, and maybe, you know, like 17, 18, 19, if you're then leaving Man United at that age, I think you're probably dropping down to a higher standard than... You start off point.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So looking, yeah, with hindsight, if I'd have stuck it out, and maybe if I'd have like nicked an apprenticeship or something, get to 18.
Yeah.
You see the young lads coming down now and it's like, well, even if you nick a year's contract, you're on big money, like a year's pro or whatever, and then you work your way down. Like, you're set for life without playing a game now.
Like, if you get released, you can then, you might go straight into a championship club at, like, if you're leaving Man United at 18, 19.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
So, you know, let's say you could potentially start off at a higher level. Don't always work out like
Instead,
that,
you went to the PFA exit trials. How were they?
Yeah, so you end up going to Crewe at, like, 14, 15. And
yeah. And then,
a while, though, weren't you?
And then I had a bit of a nightmare. So I went there and I got to 16 and I got two stress fractures in my back and I literally couldn't move. I was like an old man at 16 years old, but... I was tiny. I was like 15, 16. I was like that. I was, honestly to God, I was so tight. And then within a year, I just flew up like a foot and my back just like literally just split. I had stress fractures in it. I just couldn't get it right. So I couldn't go into a full-time apprenticeship at that time. So I did it a year late. So I started my YT at 17, did that for 2 years. And then, yeah, got to 19 and got released.
I didn't know you could do that. That's mad, isn't it?
But have a year off.
Yeah, have a year off.
Sabbatical. Yeah, so I just went and did my qualification. I did like my A-levels and went to college full-time. And then I used to go into training on a Tuesday and Thursday night and train with the under-16s. So I was still like dipping my toe in with the football, staying like within Crewe's radar kind of thing. But yeah, I was just at college basically.
And when you got released then after your scholar, did you think that was it for pro football?
Well, I was told it was, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, so I had Steve Holland, who was the under-18s coach. He's now Gareth Southgate's number two for England.
Yeah.
So I can't really argue with his, like, pedigree. But he was my youth
team. He's the one who they reckon Ben White's fell out with, don't they?
Yeah. I think he's had a few fallouts when he was at Chelsea and stuff like that, but I never really saw eye to eye with him, but I knew that he was a really good coach and just cracked on with it kind of thing. But it got to February, March time of my second year at Crewe and Dario's pulled me in the office and he's gone, we're giving you a pro, we're going to give you a couple of years, we'd like want to carry on your development with the club. I'm like, brilliant, class. Then it got to April and Dario stepped down as manager. That's the day that he stepped down and wasn't manager anymore, and Steve Holland, the 18s coach, took over as the gaffer. And honest to God, it was the day he'd done all of his press and that in the morning to say, you know, I've become the Crewe manager, like, this is my philosophy moving forward. All the usual press stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And then his first job was to like,
Gareth.
His first job was to bin all the YTs because it was our day of reckoning. So everyone was like milling around in the changing rooms and I'm thinking, I'm getting a pro here. I've been sold. So I've just marched in, sat down and he's gone, you know, you've done really well. You've had a good couple of years, but you're never going to play professional football, kid. Like, it's just...
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
To you?
Oh, so, we think
why'd you have to be so harsh?
I know, it was proper harsh. And I was like, I'm not having this. I wasn't saying anything. And he went, we've set up a trial for you at Nantwich Town. You go on trial there and like, see how you do.
Do you think you're good enough to be a footballer? Yeah, I do, Steve. Well, I don't. Get yourself off.
The last thing you need, that. Oh. Nantwich Town as well.
Nantwich Town, so I've gone.
What a horrible feeling there was, like a 17, 18 year old.
Yeah. Yeah. My whole bubble burst because I was, like I said, been told that I was getting one. And then.
Especially when you think you're getting a 2 year pro. Cheers, Dan.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean. So I didn't really know what to do. But he was saying all this and I was looking at him thinking, nah, I can't believe this. And I went, bollocks, you're wrong. And walked out.
Did you?
Yeah.
Good
said
lad.
It to his face and he was like, didn't really know what to do. And I've just got in my car, but there was like another month left on the contract. So all the lads that got released carried on going in to finish the BTEC qualification and carry on doing bits of training and all this, and little bits of coaching for the level two and stuff. But I just never went back.
Did you not?
I just went home and I was like, Dad, I'm not going back.
So what happened in the, like, I suppose the classes, like exit trials now, aren't they? Something like that. So
I've never heard of these. I just don't.
I was trying to explain to you what they were. It's basically...
I've never been at league though, have I? So.
No, but like when all the scholars are released and they don't get a pro, they have these exit trials where, I think now it's over a weekend where they play like three or four different games, but back then it'd just be one 90-minute game and like 500 lads turned up, don't they? They just got to try and give them minutes where they can. Maybe not 500, but... You know.
So some lads are literally getting like 10 minutes. So it was that...
Come on and impress for 10 minutes.
What the fuck?
Mate, honestly, it was one game. So like I say, it was all these 18, 19-year-olds that have been released at the end of the second or third year scholarship. So I turned up with my dad and I'm like, well, to just see how it goes kind of thing. But there was... Like Sed's just said, there was like 200 kids turned up to this game. And there's only one game of 90 minutes. There's only one pitch. Is that Northwich Victoria's ground?
Yeah.
Is that Northwich Vic's? Yeah. So I was like, I was lucky in that I started the game. And because it was just like a roll on, roll off basis. So they'd stop the game every 10, 15 minutes, take 11 off and throw 11 on.
So if you're a keeper, you go on for 15 minutes, you might not even have a shot to say.
Touch it. No. Yeah. Well done, you've done well.
Yeah, but it's just ticking a box to say the PFA are like, oh, we're ticking a box because like we're sort of looking at aftercare kind of thing.
Yeah, we've give these lads another chance to be able to get a club.
Like it was a bit of a stitch. So anyway, like 5-6 minutes into the game, I score straight away. And then 2 minutes go by and I score straight away and we're 2-0 up and I've scored two. So then they roll everyone off, but they keep me on. And then I score another and they roll everyone off and keep me on. But I ended up playing the whole game, scored like 4 goals.
Oh.
So it was like a proper touch. And I look back now, that was a defining moment because if I get rolled off after 15 minutes, I'd just go into the abyss then. I don't have a career.
Yeah.
Or I'd just go on trial at Nantwich. Yeah, so I did
that's
all right.
That's a real sliding door moment, that, isn't it? Because if you don't get that first goal, you're probably coming off, aren't you?
Yeah, I was lucky.
What was the goal lucky. Like? Can you remember it?
I just took it round the keeper. One of the lads who just booted the ball and it's like bounced through the middle and I'm just running, took it round the keeper and slotted it in.
Defenders don't know each other. Keeper don't know anyone.
Yeah, they're all you're over just, the yard, just run in.
Yeah, you're happy got there. It, so. Cheers.
It helped that your dad was manager. Everybody off apart from my son, you stay on.
But I would, on the back of it, there was loads of scouts in the stand with clipboards and stuff, and they're all like marking each player individually and doing the best that they can kind of thing. And then I got quite a few offers, but it was like an offer just to come in on trial. There was no like, you're getting a contract.
Here's a deal.
You're a pro. Yeah. So then Port Vale were there at the game and they were in League One at the time, I think. And that was the highest up club that was there pretty much. So I went in on trial all summer and I scored. So like the first game that we had, scored. And then I had a really good pre-season. It was Martin Foyle was the manager. I got to the end of it. They had massive financial problems and they took me in at the end of pre-season and was like, you've been unbelievable, but we can't even give you like 50 quid a week. We've got no money whatsoever.
He recommended you to someone though, didn't he? Which is all right.
Yeah. So I was there for like, I was there for 6 weeks and he's turned around and said this. I'm like, you knew 6 weeks ago that you couldn't give me any money. So we're like, why, what have you held on for? I think he might have just held out in the hope that a bit of money came available. But he's like, listen, one of my mates, Ian Brightwell, is the manager at Macclesfield Town. Go down there. He's going to give you a contract. So I just went down there and signed. And it's the hometown club. So
you didn't even go in and...
No, I wasn't even on trial or anything. I just went straight to the ground and signed.
Pro deal?
Yeah.
Buzzing?
Yeah.
I was buzzing, so it was League Two.
League Two.
So I've been released from Crewe. Crewe were in League One. And then they took on like 6, 7, 8 lads from that year as pros. And they're nowhere near the first team. They're just in the 21s or the raises or whatever. And then off the back of getting released, I've ended up at Mac in League Two and I'm playing every week. So it worked out well to be fair.
Yeah.
Good.
You'd rather that, wouldn't you, than just be sat in like a squad player?
Yeah.
But it's Mac though, isn't it? That's the only problem.
Yeah, it was my hometown club, so it was like I was in my element, you know, like walking around town and people know who you are and I'm on like 200 quid a week. So it's like, it's not like the financial thing, but it's just representing your hometown club and playing in. Like, my first game was Bradford away in front of 18,000. I was like, this is class. Like, buzzing off.
And was you doing all right? Was you up to the level?
Yeah. I went straight in, to be fair. So the first, maybe the first 10, 15 games, I'd be coming on. And then, yeah, I just ended up
centre, mid or wing?
Centre forward.
Was he centre forward?
Yeah, yeah.
Was that?
Proper utility man, me.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I played everywhere. But yeah, I was up front. And I think at that season, I scored 7 or 8 goals. And then the year after, I scored 13, maybe 12, 13. So I'd done all right. First 2 years as a pro, I'd scored like 20 odd goals and played most of the games. I loved it. It was class.
Yeah. In Mac as well.
League Very two. Good, yeah. And then, like you mentioned, that your first game was Bradford.
Yeah.
And you ended up there.
I know. Yeah. Because
they're a massive club for that league, aren't they?
Yeah. We'll probably end up talking about them quite a bit, but. Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that Mac, knowing what the Moss Rose is like, playing there and then going to Valley Parade and there's like 18, 19,000. It's a Premier League ground.
Yeah.
Like, it's class. The atmosphere was rocking. I think it was like first game of the season. And I was like, I came on for, might have even been 10 minutes or something, and passed it sideways 3 times, but I was buzzing, like, in my element.
Just to be there.
Yeah. Just get a nice touch on it and just...
Yeah, yeah. It was honest to God, I was buzzing. I remember like going home and I couldn't stop smiling for like a week. I was so excited. And like I say, it wasn't the financial. To be honest, I think I might have even been on a pay-as-you-play contract at that point.
Right.
So you only get your 200 quid if you play.
Yeah.
So yeah, like, I played in front of 18,000. I'm getting 200 quid, like, buzzing.
So, yeah, like, shit that, innit?
No, but at that age, though, that's all that counts. It's just becoming a professional and playing.
Yeah, I didn't care.
You're playing in the league, innit?
Yeah, I'm living at home with my mum and dad. Really? I've got a car, but like, my mum and dad have sorted me out with that. So I've got no outgoings. I've got like a pay as you go phone. Like, didn't bother about the money. I just wanted to be a footballer. That's all I ever wanted to do. So then to get a taste of playing in front of a big crowd, that was it. I was like made up.
So how did the move come about then to Bradford?
So I got to the end of that.
Second season.
So I think I signed 12 months and then signed another 12 months and got to the end of that. And then I was getting quite a lot of interest from other clubs and...
Swindon, Walsall, Gillingham, Radcliffe.
Well, I went to Bradford.
Well, Lincoln was the bit, like, I was destined to go to Lincoln. Like, it was the agreed deal and all that. And I went and had a look around the city, like, beautiful place. If you've ever been, like, really nice, good club. Manager seemed really good. Peter Jackson showed me all around the ground and all that. And then Bradford came in. So I went down and they showed me all around the ground properly and all that. And obviously I played there
before. Didn't take you around Bradford, did they?
What's that?
Didn't take you around Bradford.
No.
No, you'd want to sign.
No chance. So yeah, they showed me around the ground and I was like, I've got to sign here. Like, it's good, really good. And then, signed a 2-year deal.
Started well, didn't it? First game.
Why?
Is that not the Accrington penalty?
No, that's not. Oh.
That's not.
No, that's
that wasn't
not
my first game.
Oh, that would have been a fucking belter if it was.
So go that on, just like... talk through that, because we mentioned it to you this morning, and you said, "Where have you got that information from?" It's actually on Wikipedia, where you played against Accrington, and it says Evans missed the last minute penalty. Go on, you can elaborate on.
Yeah. It didn't go well. I've missed the penalty, but for some reason, I can't remember if it was the disabled section was behind
the goal,
or if it was just like someone going past in the wheelchair or whatever, but I've leathered this penalty because it's absolutely hammering down. Pitch is a bog and it's 1-1. And I'm like, I'm just going to smash it. Like, I'm not going to place it because I'll slip. So I'm just going to smash it. So I've run up and leathered it, right, and I've hit it sweet as a nut, honest to God. And it's gone woof, straight past the post and gone bang, straight in this girl's face in a wheelchair. Oh, my God. all the crowd are booing. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, that's what but, I want them.
Oh, booing because you missed or because you hit her?
Both, I think.
Oh, imagine that. But Didn't she have brittle bones or something? You broke
her
jaw.
Yeah, she had brittle bones and I've broken her jaw or something. So I had to go and give her a signed shirt the week after, but I think she would have just thrown that in.
she would have took her some yogurts.
What are the chances of that? I couldn't Adam and Eve it. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, that's not what you need, that. Missing the last minute penalty.
Not just missing the last minute penalty to win the game, but then hitting somebody square in the jaw who's disabled and you break a jaw.
It's not good ethics, is it, really?
Yeah, that's not you, that either, Gaz, is it?
No, what, missing pens?
No, missing pens and just that.
Hurting somebody.
Yeah.
No.
Not at all.
No. To be fair, I was devastated, obviously, because I missed the pen, but also, obviously, I ended up proper hurting a fan, like. But it went viral, and this was like, you've probably got the year there. It's like 2009, 10.
Yeah.
So it wasn't even like Twitter or Facebook or social media was massive. It was obviously there, but it wasn't huge. But like, I think it got like 500,000 clicks on YouTube.
Oh, just imagine that.
Viral.
Can we take that down?
But just imagine the person. If it's, because I can't think that the disabled section would be behind the goal. I just can't think someone's played a trick like that.
You never know.
So I think someone, penalty, can you wheel me round so I can watch it? And that person who's wheeled them round has placed them in the wrong place and you've hit a square in the face.
It's their fault, not yours, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't take any of that.
Pass the blame.
What a belter.
To be honest, it had simmered down a little bit and diluted to the point where I forgot about it, and then you mentioned it before and I was like, you bastards.
Yeah,
everyone's going to be on it now. Everyone that watches this is going to be on you.
That's a bit half a million views 15 years ago. I'd be like, it'd be 10 million by Monday.
But the camera angle, right, is showing it, and she sat there behind the goal and you see the ball, like the video quality is not 4K or anything, obviously, but it's gone straight into her face and she's just gone like that. So it's like she can see her above the advertising board just ahead.
No way.
And then she just disappears. I'm like, oh my God.
She knocked her out of a chair as well.
Yeah. So it was bad at the time, but it looks worse on video. Like, I watched it back and I'm like, oh my God, what am I doing?
What am I doing? It's not your fault. Right, so...
And it's raining. Just to make it worse. Raining. Sweat. Yeah. Cold, wet.
Belting down. So the final whistle goes and I'm trudging off thinking I've killed someone.
Oh, God.
I'm trying to get you off this one, Gaz. What a bella. How was Peter Taylor?
Old school. Really old school. I didn't really see eye to eye with him, really. So he came in. Stuart McCall signed me at Bradford and he was class. Loved him. He ended up signing me again when I went back a few years ago.
Funny that you mentioned him, because I was reading an article when I was driving down to Bristol the other day, like I stopped off at a services, and it reminded me of, do you remember when he climbed on top of the car with a beer?
Yeah, don't mention that to him.
Oh, he hates it now, don't have you seen it?
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen it? So I was reading the clip and then it said, blah, 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 blah. He's drunkenly, like the video when he climbed on top of the car with his, so he's celebrating like this. I think they won the league, aren't they?
Yeah.
Something like that. And he's got a beer, a pint of beer, and he climbs on top of this car to go like to cheer in. He slips, falls, rolls off the top of his car, but stands up. He's not dropped a drop of his pint. He goes, whoa, like that. You'll have to click on it. It's brilliant.
I think he's actually got two cans. So...
He's
fallen over and he's not got anywhere to put his hands because he's got two tins. So he's like, he's preserving the beers, but he's like bailing at the same time.
He falls off
and
the
he
top
just goes
of the car.
Bang on the roof and just falls off and then gets up and like plays it out. But if you mention
But he hates it now, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Because it's like, I think he feels like that goes before him.
Yeah.
In terms
of
his career and stuff. He became more famous for that than his career, which is bollocks. Like his career was a joke.
Well, they reckoned that... it stopped him from getting some of the big managerial jobs because I think he was in for Rangers and stuff like that at some point.
Yeah, maybe.
So that's why it does it. His Rangers.
Yeah, that bit, yeah.
Okay, well, that's class. I'd be like, sign that man now.
People loved him for it for a while, but then it's just...
Yeah, but...
As you get older, you look back, you're like, shit, who have I done that?
Yeah. But a few of the lads have mentioned it to him over the years. So we'd be... Like in a pre-match meeting, like, Gaffer, what about that time when you bailed off the car? Like, it's funny, wasn't it? It's like, fuck off, you little prick. You're not playing on Saturday. And you just walk out like you can't mention it to him. He hates it. I feel a little bit sorry for him because it has gone before him a little bit, but he was class. I loved him. Really good.
A little bit like your video will go before you pretty soon.
What's that?
A bit like your video will go before you.
Yeah.
Pretty soon.
Yeah,
once,
yeah.
Once we get this out on YouTube.
When you tweet your retirement, I'm just going to put that underneath.
Just the link.
Highlights.
So what was that like then playing for Bradford? Because obviously there must be a lot of expectation on the players.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. Well, the first
They're
year...
still in League Two now?
Yeah.
They've been there a long time, haven't they? It's such like, a big club.
Yeah. It's hard to put your finger on what's wrong with that club, but something is seriously not right.
Yeah, because I took a player there and met Mark Hughes. Like, sat down... Mark Hughes, sat down with him and he was talking about, obviously, like, they're going to win the league, they're bringing in these players, the budget and stuff like that. And I was like, you sat there in the stadium, which, like you said, it's a Premier League stadium. They get 18 to 20,000 fans in League Two. They just can't go anywhere.
There's just something about that football club that just, the number of players, the list of players that's like that, that turn up with ridiculous pedigree, like played in the Prem, played in the Champ, and then they go down to there and they think, well, it's a good ground, they do things right, blah-de-blah, and they just don't perform. And it's like there's a common denominator here, and it's not the players. And I'm not just saying that because at times I haven't performed for the club, but honest to God, there's just so many players just turn up there and just don't perform. And I don't know what it is. It's like the training ground is just, they just train at a school. They haven't got a training ground. They just train at like a private school, the other end of Appley Bridge. It's got Woodhouse Grove School. So they just train there. And so that they trained there when I was 21, 22, when I first went there. And then I went back a couple of years ago and I remember like I signed and I'm like, Gaffer, like, where's the training ground? And he's like, you know where the training ground is? I'm like,
still the same training ground.
Like, Appley Bridge. He was like, yeah. I'm like, fucking hell. So not the same place. And it's just a school.
They like 10 years later. Or something. Yeah.
They've not moved on in any way, shape or form.
Because they must be paying some wages out.
I think that's what it is. I think they preserve the money. So they haven't got a training ground. So they don't spend money on facilities. The ground hasn't changed a jot in 15 years. It's not changed nothing. It's exactly this. Probably in 20 years, it's not changed. So that's not where they spend the money. They'll go and sign someone for like $7,000-$8,000 a week and
hope
for the best.
Hope
that he's the answer. Yeah. And it never works like that because there's 10 other players on the pitch. So that's where the money goes, I think. But there's serious problems with the hierarchy at that club, definitely.
Did you enjoy your time there? Was it difficult?
First year was good. I loved it. So it was something new again. So I was playing in front of big crowds and you felt like a proper player. There was a proper like buzz when you go out and play. And yeah, I loved it. And it went well. I think I scored
11 goals.
11, 12 goals. Maybe, yeah. It was good. It was like a really good year. And then the year after, like I say, Stuart had gone and Peter Taylor had come in and everything had changed. It was all really old school, like proper old school. And it was just different. They did that massive budget cut again. They'd slashed the budget in half. So we were signing players that didn't really have any pedigree. They were just like non-league hopefuls that we were hoping would like come to fruition at Bradford, and it never happened.
Could have been you, Jordan.
Could have been me. Should have been me. Nine promotions, mate.
Could have, would have, should have.
You're not counting nine promotions, mate. You're not counting pub leagues, are you?
Northwest Counties.
Yeah, you're not counting that.
Northwest Counties.
You're not counting that.
Yeah, but at some point, someone's got to go, this lad's got 8 promotions here. Let's have a look at him.
Well, they have done John McBurney. They're stuck by here. That's what they've done.
Oh, it'll never happen again, that.
Well, you had your chance. You went to Fylde, went full-time.
No, full-time's not for me.
You couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
Why?
Just didn't look like the opposite.
Same as me.
The opposite of you. Yeah.
No, because he couldn't drink. He couldn't have a kebab on a Tuesday. that's exactly what it is.
No, obviously, if I'd have got the chance younger, I would have been sound. But when I went at 29...
You wanted them because you had a body like a worm when you were like 21.
I'm not asked anyway. I've had a good time.
I remember the first time he took his top off on the bus. You must have been 24-ish when I was... How old are you now? 33, so 8 years ago when I was at
25.
So 25. He had the body of a student. He had no pecs. Flattest chest ever. Tiniest, like Mr. Burn arms and a little pot belly. Didn't you? And yeah. I was like, who is this kid? And then I'll look at him. Machine.
To be fair, though, I've watched you for the last 9 months, how you conduct yourself off the pitch, and I'm like, how's he not 20 stone him?
What, you?
You're literally like a dustbin, mate. Like any foods around you, just hoover it up.
Any like, drink.
Yeah, like 10, after every game, 10 pints go down. I'm like, why is he not massive? Like, what's he doing in his spare time? Just starving.
I thought he was
going
to say, I've watched you and you should be in the league. And he just said,
nah, I'm not giving
you
that.
You should be 20 stone.
Nah, you played, Jordan you played
was thinking,
all right.
But... he's going to big me up here because I've really improved when I'm like off the pitch.
No, I knew that weren't coming. So we've got a coach now, Clarkie. And
Clarkie used to play for Salford.
Yeah.
With the curly hair.
Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Well, yeah, I've just described it.
Yeah, Clarkie. But. For some reason this year, he's just turned into like a full-on alky. And he just like, after every training session, he has to have loads of pints. He's put on 3 stone.
Is it actually
over
3 stone?
He's put on like 2 or 3 stone.
So he was always a big
John
kid anyway.
John dogging
it
last night saying, like, look at the figure on Clarkie or something. And he just lifted his top up. He went, what about that lad? His belly, mate, is massive. And he used to be like... I remember how he used
to be?
Yeah,
he used to be, yeah.
Yeah.
He was a good footballer as well.
Class. Yeah.
Technique, really good.
Yeah.
So at the start of pre-season, he was in quite good nick. Like, you wouldn't say like ripped or anything like that, but he's looked after himself a little bit. But then as the season's gone on, he's just got like, let himself go a little bit. And the other night, he's like, he's doing waves of attack or something, aren't we? And he's got the ball and he's like, he's got the technique. So he's like spun it backwards and zinged it. And I've just heard his thighs go like that. I'm like, ooh.
Clap together.
Oh. But no one said anything. And I'm thinking, I'm not going to say anything here because he's going to melt.
What a guy. He just, he's not arse one bit. He's
Ledge.
He's just a good coach now.
Big shout out to Clarkie.
Go on, Clarkie, pudding.
She's like, what did they call Jimmy 5 bellies? Clarkie 8 bellies. Right, so Bradford ended that season. Didn't
yes.
You got put forward though for goal of the season.
Yeah.
This is how long ago it were. Mitre goal of the year.
Yeah, yeah.
Do Mitre still do footballs?
Don't know.
But anyway,
outside soccer sports.
I was I got runner up. It was a peach to be fair.
Was it?
But I scored 2 in that game. That was the first year, I think, when I was at Bradford. Scored 2 again. We beat Northampton 2-0 and I scored both. So the first one, the ball's come over. Well, no, sorry, like 5 minutes before, one of the young lads, Leon Osborne's got the ball.
Leon Osborne, not Leon Osborne who ended up at Everton?
No.
Right.
No, he was like...
I was going to say.
He like went into the abyss.
Is he called Leon Osborne?
No.
Leon Osman, yeah.
Leon? All right, Tash.
Fucking hell.
So he's got the ball.
Weren't that far off, was
that? No.
He's got the ball and it's bobbling around and like 30 yards out, but he's turned and smacked it and it's gone right over the stand. And I'm thinking, you fucking dickhead, like, what are you doing? Like, just pass me the ball. So then the next time the goalkeeper's got the ball, he booted it over and it's come to me and it's almost like an exact what Leon's just tried to do. So I've chested it and swiveled from like 30 yards out and hit it on the half volley and it's gone boom, straight into the top corner. And even I was like, you know, like, I didn't expect that, like, absolute. Like
best goal you've ever scored,
I think. Yeah,
I have to get that goal up.
Yeah, it was like
straight after.
So I
watched the penalty miss.
Yeah, make a little collab. So the second goal, our winger's like gone down and he's like chipped it over, and I'm like 15 yards out or something, and I've got over a kick and it's gone in the top corner. So I'm like, I'm coming off at the end and I'm thinking, I don't know which goal's better. Like, they're both belters. Like, couldn't believe that I'd scored these 2 goals. But yeah, I ended up going down to London. And
so which one got it? The half volley or the over a kick?
Yeah, the half volley. Can't remember what won it now, but I went down to London and had like a massive do in London with the PFA, and yeah, it was class. But yeah, that was like pretty much the only thing that came on with Bradford.
And then you end up joining Yorkshire Rivals, didn't you?
Yeah. So got to the end of that season and Bradford were under massive financial problems. Like, there was one point in that season where the manager's come in, and it was on payday on a Friday, and he's come in and he's gone, I know you haven't been paid, lads, but if you're on under £1,000 a week, the money will be in your bank by the end of the day. Anyone else is going to get a check. But then the chief execs come marching in, and he hasn't realised that the gaffer's briefed us on what's happening.
Yeah.
So he's come in and he's just giving out three checks like that. He's giving me one and two other lads. So then all the other lads are like, well, you three are on like okay money, but it wasn't like mind blowing money. But the rest, like all the lads are thinking, well, everyone knows that I'm on crap money now. But at the time, I remember thinking like, we're getting 18,000, 19,000. Like you said before, Gaz, it's like you're getting 18,000, 19,000 fans. Why is the lads on buttons for that level?
500-600 quid a week.
Yeah. Like why? And it opened my eyes to think that they're literally running on a shoestring here.
That was an awkward meeting, that.
What was said after,
with the lads.
Yeah, so I was just like,
I'd have been buzzing, mate. Waving it around. Warm in here. Can I go and cash his check before I drop it on my toe and break it?
Anyone need a borrow?
It was a proper awkward. But I think those three were also looking at each other thinking these checks are bouncing. Like they're giving us a check for a reason. They're obviously waiting for a bit of cash to come in, so it'll clear. Anyway, it cleared, but it was just opened my eyes to what the club was running on at that time. And then Peter Jackson took over from Peter Taylor. He took me in the office at the end of the season. He was like, listen, we're cutting the budget again, cutting it in half again. I'm not even going to offend you by offering you what we're going to offer you. It's going to be half what you're on. Go and find another club. Go and play somewhere else. If you're desperate, then come back kind of thing. But I don't know if it was a roundabout way of saying you binned.
Yeah, a nice way.
Yeah. But
imagine coming back a month later. I've had a look round.
I'll take your four, son.
Sake, he's back.
Shit. Shut the blinds.
So I went away that summer and just weighed up all my options and went and signed for Rotherham.
Two goals on your debut. Where are you playing at this point? Are you still up front?
Left wing.
Moved out to left wing.
Yeah. He's a centre mid now.
I know, you were saying before.
Yeah.
Well, he's not playing. Yeah.
If I'm lucky.
Yeah, bench if I'm lucky.
So I think that must have been like two or three games into the start of pre-season and... into the season, we had Plymouth away and I think it was the first game that I started, like you say, and I scored two and then it went from there, really. But Andy Scott, the manager, signed us and pre-season was a blast. It was like really tough.
Hard pre-season, you mean?
Really tough. So he would just like randomly say, right, run. And you just set off around the pitch and you're just running and running and running. And then there's like sprints up and down. Like every day was like, I was getting home and I was, honest to God, I couldn't even stand up. But I got to the end of pre-season, I was so fit. It was a joke. He was like massive on the weights and the core and all this. I was like so fit. It was a joke. And I
is
was
that
just
best
like,
you felt? Yeah, like going into a start of a season. Then?
Physically, yeah, pretty much. Graham Alexander was good with it as well. He got me in really good nick. But that was one season where I remember coming into it, and I'm like, you know, you feel really confident, don't you? Every game, no you think I'm going to make or score a goal.
You might as well look at me. Don't look
I'm flying. I think I get to like October, November, I've scored 6 or 7 goals. I'm either scoring or assisting every game. Like I'm on fire.
Yeah.
And then I'd agreed a deal to go to Watford in January. It was like done deal pretty much.
And Watford are in?
Champ at that time.
Right. I
think they were like third in the champ or something. So I'm like, this, like my career's like, it's coming together, like finally. Yeah. And then we play Bradford away and I come off after like 12 minutes and it was just like...
Subbed off?
No, injured. Just like... So obviously I've gone back to Bradford and it's the first time that I've gone back there since I played there. And by the end, like at Bradford, I was getting pelters and that. Like the fans were just...
Acid,
just battering everyone. So I've gone back and I'm like, I'm going to prove a point here. Like I'm turning up, I've scored all these goals, like... Player of the month a couple of times, like I'm in really good shape. So then we're in the tunnel and we're lining up to go out and I'm looking, there's like absolutely packed, 20,000 fans there and I'm like, I'm going to prove to all these, like I'm going to get my own back. And we're stood in the tunnel and I've never said anything to any of the Rotherham lads about any of the Bradford lads. never, like, I spoke about the club and like how good it is with the fans and stuff like that. Yeah. Nothing about any of the team or anything. And Dale Tong, one of the lads, is stood at the front of the line, and he's like third in line, and I'm at the back. And he's looking at their skipper, Michael Flynn, and I played with Michael Flynn. I was in his car school and out of Bradford. Anyway, Dale's turned around, he's gone, "You're right about Flynn, he is a fat cunt, isn't he, Gaz?"
Oh, no.
And I'm stood down like, oh.
It's not what you need,
Flynn's turned around like this, steam coming out of his ears, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, this isn't like this.
And you haven't said it.
Never said a word, I swear to God. I'd never say a bad word about him. And, so we've gone out to play, and I'm thinking, I'll just forget about it, like, move on kind of thing. And I hit the bar after like two games. I'm playing really well. After 2 minutes, like playing really well. And then I get the ball on the edge of our box and I take a big touch and I look out the corner of my eye and Michael Flynn's fucking steaming towards me. I'm like chasing after the ball and I get there just in front of him. But he just goes like that, bang. It just takes me out. My ankle's like planted in the ground. And just literally fucking.
So he's done you there then?
Done me massively, yeah, deliberately. Because of what Tongi had said in the tunnel.
And what was the injury?
So it was like I'd done all my deltoid ligaments, done all the outside ligaments. I'm pretty sure, I'd never got an x-ray, but I'm pretty sure I must have broken it. So I got up and tried to walk. I couldn't even walk. They took me off after 12 minutes and that was like...
How long was you out for then?
Well, I came back after 2 months, but I came back too early. And then...
And obviously you've missed your chance to go to Watford, I'm guessing then.
Well, I think that I came back before Christmas, so I'm thinking, well, the January transfer window is still open. Right, but obviously, okay, they haven't been watching me all this time for like 2 months. And then I came back too early. I think we went to like Cheltenham away or something, and I'm carrying my ankle around the pitch. Like, I'm not fit. And then my quads, because I'm carrying my ankle, my quad's just blown. So I'm like, I've done my quad. And then I came back from that too early and did my quad again. And then I came back and did it again. And so I'm out for like... come back for like a game or two every now and again.
Yeah.
But by and large, I'm out for like 4 months. And then the manager gets the sack. And then that's that. And then the Watford thing was just in the water, like dead in the water. So it was like, I look back now and that was a career defining moment. That.
Yeah.
Because if I went there, it would have been, I was off and away then.
That guy in the tunnel's done you.
Yeah. Tongi. Yeah. He's like first team coach at Stockport. Now, it's proper ledge guy, Tongi, but he's like, he's obviously just done it for a bit of banter, but.
Well, he's done it just to
Flynny himself's just like,
oh,
proper dummy. But he's a big unit as well, so it's like a believable statement, do you know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, he's a fat cunt kind of thing. So it killed me. And then that was it. And then Andy Scott got the sack and Steve Evans came in and I was like, oh my God.
Talking of bellies.
Talking of fat cunt. Cut that.
I was Steve Evans then. Different. It must be a different. I don't know how he manages. Like I've never
manages like.
No. I mean, like I've never sports, but I don't know what his management style's like.
Wild,
is
like,
it?
Yeah, he's 100 or nothing. Like if you're around him, he's just shouts constantly. But to be honest, when he first came in, I think because he knew that he was coming into a squad of players that he needed to keep on board between when he came in and the end of the season, he was sound. He was really good. So he was...
Did you like him as a manager?
Yeah, when he first came in, I did. So I was playing and he would like go out of his way to come and ask me how I'm doing and he wanted to know about my personal life with my missus and where I'm living and this, that and the other. So I was like, well, what everyone's on about this Steve Evans, like he's fucking top man, like really good.
Yeah.
And then it gets to that summer and I think it was obvious that he'd waited 3 or 4 months just to get to the summer and then anyone that's out of contract, like just move them on and I'm getting my own players in. So it gets to the end of the season, he has all the meetings and stuff and he's like, really like, guys, we're going to extend your contract. We're going to give you another 2 years. So I'm like, right, okay, yeah, buzzing. And the contract comes through and it's like, it's more money and, but there's a clause in it to say you've got to live within 20 minutes of the New York Stadium. He had like this thing where you had to live within 20 minutes of where the ground is.
We've heard that before, haven't we, about him?
You have to live local, yeah.
Yeah.
But I was living in Worsley, so I was driving over the top. It was taking like over an hour to get there. I'm in a car school with like 3 or 4 other lads.
That's like, is that Snake's Pass over that kind of thing?
Yeah, well, yeah, Woodhead.
Yeah,
well, yeah, Woodhead, same thing, really, yeah. So you're going all the way over the top. Anyway, he didn't like it, so he wanted you to live within the 20 minutes of the ground.
He's from there as well, isn't he? Is it?
No, he's from Peterborough, I think.
Oh, is he?
I think
oh,
so, right. Yeah.
You're not moving, are you?
I moved.
Did you?
Yeah, because it was like, you can only sign this contract if you move. So I got like $8,000 relocation money and all the standard stuff. So
I'm not being funny.
I moved.
If you live in Worsley and then you move into
Doncaster.
Doncaster, yeah. You could probably sell your house and buy a street over there.
Well, I was just renting. So it was easy because I was just renting in Worsley, just move out of there and move over to Doncaster. So it wasn't that big of a deal. I think if I was living in my own house and that, it would be difficult. But yeah, so I moved to Doncaster and like Rotherham, the first year that I was there, they were at the Don Valley Stadium, which was like an athletics track, and they were waiting for the new ground to be built. And when Steve came in that year, we moved into the new ground. So it was a brand new ground. I'm on more money. I'm living in Doncaster. Like, loving it. Love the football club. Yeah. All the fans are great with me. I've done really well in the first year, albeit I've been injured for 4 months. Like, new 2-year deal. Let's go kind of thing. And then by October, I was done. That was it. You just switched one day. So I started the season. I was playing really well. But you'd always have this thing where I'd be thinking I'm going to score or make a goal this game. And then it get to like 65, 70 minutes and it just take me off every time. And I don't know what it was. There was no logic to it, but he would just, every game, it'd be like, if someone's coming off, it's me. But he always started me and I was playing all the time. I scored 2 against Bradford. So Bradford came back to the New York Stadium. We beat them 4-0 and I scored 2. So I was like loving life, yeah. Class. And then...
Turn that one flare.
Fat idiot.
So yeah, I was like, I'm really enjoying playing for this club. Like, with me and the missus are really happy, Hazel's really happy, like, we're proper chuffed to be here. And then he took me out for a couple of games. A long story, this is like the exit to my Rotherham, it's a long one, but he took me out for a couple of games and I'm like, why is he taking me out? I can't really understand it. He didn't speak to me, he didn't tell me anything, but every day he's like, he's different from last season. Every day is chaos. He's like shouting constantly. If he's in the training ground, you know it because you can just hear his voice all the time, yeah. Screaming. So he took me out for a couple of games and then the lad that he put, I can't remember who he put in, but the lad that was playing in front of me got injured. So then we had Dagenham away on the Saturday and all that week I'm in the team shape. I'm taking all the set pieces. It gets to the Friday. I'm like, I'm back in. Like, that was just a bit of my management. He was keeping me on my toes. So
he weren't.
So he goes on the Friday, he gets us all together doing the set plays. I'm taking them all. He's like, right, Gaz is on pens. So I'm like, I'm right back in the mix here. Like, drive all the way down to Dagenham thinking, like, doing it all right, getting my sleep in and everything. Does the team shape. I'm playing, like, at the hotel on the team meeting day of the game. Does the team shape. I'm playing on the right. So I'm like, yeah, buzzing, like starting, like back in, here we go. Turn up at the ground, right, and walk in the dressing room and there's some lad in the corner dressed in his own gear. And I start putting 2 and 2 together. I'm thinking, what's he doing? Like, who's this? He's like, hiya, Luke Rooney. And I'm like, hiya, Gaz. He's like, yeah, I've just signed. Like, right.
What position?
Yeah, I'm thinking, if anyone's getting binned, it's me. So I start thinking, this is something's up here. And then the gaffer comes in and he's like, God, lads, this is Luke Rooney. He's going to be our best right winger moving forwards and all this. And I'm thinking, I'm playing right wing here. What's going on? So he puts the team shape up and I'm on the bench. And I'm just like, you're fucking having me off here. So
he's had you in the shape as like a dummy.
I'm taking the
really?
Pens, mate. Yeah. I'm taking the pens. I'm like, how have I gone from taking the pens to like sat on the Judy? Like, how's he done that?
Judy but he's signed. You get that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Judy Dench bench, yeah, job.
Yeah, all right.
It's just that vacant look you have there.
Full-time banter, that. Gimps.
So anyway, he signs this Luke Rooney.
Absolute pied you.
Yeah, massive pie. And I'm like, he wants me out. He's making an example of me. Yeah. So the game starts and this lad's miles off it. He's come on loan from Swindon, but he's 2 stone overweight. He's got nowhere near the ball. Like, you think he might have touched it twice all half and we're 3-0 down at half time. And I'm on the bench thinking, you reap what you sow, you little bellend, like, twat, deserve what you get kind of thing.
Yeah.
But then I'm warming up on the pitch and then Paul Rayner's come out, his assistant. He's gone, Gaz, come in, you're going on. So I'm running and I've got my kit on, got my boots on, got my pads on, I'm ready to go. And Gaffer gets his whiteboard out, which he's already smashed all over the place at half time. So he's picking all the bits up, puts them all up to shape. Gaz, you're there. It's like coming on at left back. Like, what are you on about? Here, like 3-0 down away at Dagenham. We need a goal. I'm going on at left back. Like, what are you doing? So I'm like, phew. So I don't make a scene and I just think I'm just going to go out and do my best kind of thing. So then the half starts and like the ball comes over and I zing one out to the right winger and he like goes in and crosses it in and we don't score, but something comes of it.
But and is this Rooney like, still? Is Rooney still on here?
No, he's took him off.
All right.
He's put the left back on the right wing and put me at left back. So I'm like, just proper stitch up. But I'm trying to make the most of it. So I'm like trying to zing balls out and like skipping pad, like zipping them, like reversing them round into midfield, just making the most of playing there. But I'm not a left back, like never in a million years. But then there's a melee in the middle of the pitch. And Jason Taylor, one of the lads, has like smashed one of their lads and the ball's bobbled to me. So I've like skipped past the right winger and I've noticed that the Dagenham lad stayed down and he's like rolling round, like injured. So I've like tapped it off and turned round and like this is on the side of where the dugouts are. So I've gone to the side of the pitch and I'm like, get a water, like while he gets his treatment and all that. And the ground's silent. And I just hear, what the fuck are you doing? So I'm like, what's going on here? Like, is he talking to me? And he's like, you, Evo, what the fuck are you doing? So I'm like, what?
It's a good accent, actually.
Was he Welsh?
He's like, yeah, he's got excuse the Scottish accent, yeah. He's like, what the fuck are you doing? He's like, you've just come on the pitch and you're having a fucking drink of water. I'm like, well, yeah, the guy's down injured. He's like, and then you kick it off. We need a goal and you're kicking the ball off. Like going mad. I'm like, it's just good sportsmanship. I'm thinking he's like, the whole ground's watching because the whole stands behind the dugouts and they're all watching. I'm like, well, he's going in on me here. He's making an example of me again. I've had a bad week. Like, I don't need this. And he's like, do you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, yes, Gaffer. He's like, you don't know what I'm saying, do you? You don't know what I'm fucking saying. Keep the ball in play. I was like, yes, Gaffer. He's like, you don't know what I'm saying. And the mist is going down at this point. And I've gone, oh, fuck off, Steve. Like that. And I've gone, oh no.
As soon as I've said it,
I've gone, oh no. All the stand behind are laughing. The bench are like this. All of our bench are like this. And then Rainsy, the assistants turn round and he's thinking, why? What has he just said there? And I'm like,
that's not like you, is it?
No, like it takes a lot to put me in a corner and like for me to lash out. So it was like everything had just accumulated and I've just gone, fuck off, Steve. And he didn't say a word. The fourth official's laughing his head off. And I'm like, this is getting worse.
Don't you start.
Give my belly.
So he's like, he's not said a word. So the game's carried on. And the rest of the half, normally, if you know Steve Evans, he goes mad on the side of the pitch. He's not said a word. There's like
You're in for it.
So there's a half an hour left in this game and I'm on that side of the pitch as well, trying to do my best at left back. We lose 5-0, get dicked. So I'm like, just made it worse. And he's not said a word the whole half. And I'm like, I'm getting it here. So I walk in and sit down and I'm just like,
how nerve-wracking is it though?
Yeah.
When you know you're getting a bollocking.
You know you're going to get a bollocking. And all your teammates, I used to hate that.
Yeah, I knew that it was coming, but I've got in the dressing room and sat down and the whole time I'm thinking, don't say anything, just leave it. But I'm like, got my hands up, my arms on my elbows here, I'm just looking down and then I hear the door slam. I just see these two bastard winkle pickers here. And I'm like, oh no. And I look up like this and he's there. 40 minutes he went at me, mate, like, proper,
40
just
minutes.
Emptied me out. Never said anything about the game, nothing about the goals, nothing about the result. Just honestly unloaded on me. Every name under the sun, you name it. Most of it just went over my head because I was just like, once you've been called a cunt, that's it. I'm not arse kind of thing. But the top and bottom of it was the last few sentences was like, you be in my office tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, with your tracksuit and your club suit. You'll never play for me again. So I'm like, fucking hell. So the whole way home on the bus, I'm like texting my agent saying, get me out, I need a new club. Like, I'm done. Texting my missus, we're moving house again. Pack your stuff. Like, all this stuff's going on. And then, so I've got up the next day and I've got to the training ground at like 7:30 and I'm sat in the car for like 20 minutes thinking, what am I going to say here? Like, how's this going to pan out? But I'm thinking at the same time, I'm not apologising. He's treating me like an absolute dickhead there. I'm not apologising. So I've got out of my car and I've like got my club suit and my track suit like this. And I'm like walking to the offices, right? Open the door, and Andy Dibble, the goalkeeping coach, is there, like the old Man City goalkeeper, like ledge, like buzzed off him. And he's gone, "You'll be all right, son." All right, okay. So I'm like, yes, like holding my track suit and club suit, walking, knock on door. He's like, "Is that fucking you, Evo?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "Come in." So I've come in and I'm like this, I'm looking at my gear and I'm like, I look at him and I'm like, mate, he's got sausage roll in his mouth. He's got pastry all down him like this. He's got a bag of minstrels on the go and a can of iron brew.
I'm like,
have I got the time right here? Like, it's 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning and he's like munching on a sausage roll, like covered in pastry. So he's got his Rotherham jumper on and it's like Rotherham badge, Puma badge, SE. And just fucking pastry everywhere, mate. And I'm like, you slob. Like, that is minging. So I sit down. And I'm like, he's like, sit down. He's like, Rainsy. So he like gets Rainsy's number two to come in and sit down. Didn't want to do it on his own. And he just goes round the houses for ages. But he basically, he was like, do you think it was that respectable to speak to me like that? And I was like, well, Gafford, I went on about what had happened throughout the week, and Luke Rooney's in the changing room, and like, then you've brought me on at left back, and this is like, I don't give a fuck, I'm manager, I'll do what I want. But he's expecting me to say sorry, so we go on for ages, and then he's gone, Darren Ferguson, manager of Peterborough, if one of his players speaks to him like that, does he or does he not sack him? And I'm like, well, I don't know Darren Ferguson, why are you asking me that? I haven't got a clue. Like, maybe, maybe not. And he's like, tell you what, we'll ask Dibs. So Andy Dibble's like worked with Darren Ferguson at Peterborough. So he's like, Dibs, get in here. And I'm thinking, I'm mates with Dibs. He's like one of my pals. So he lived in Wilmslow. So we used to go over the Snakes Pass all the time together. And like after home games, we'd stop off and have a pint. I know everything about his family. He knows everything about my family. We're good mates. So I'm thinking, you fucked yourself here bringing Dibs in because
he's going to back me up.
He's going to back me up. He's one of my mates. So he's like, Dibs, one of Darren Ferguson's players speaks to him like that. Does he sack him on the spot? Yes or no? And I'm looking at Evans thinking, what a stupid mate, because he's just going to bat me. And Dibs goes, yeah, he'd sack him on the spot, Gaff. So I'm like,
cheers.
Dibs, are you fucking sure, mate? Like, what are you doing? Proper, like, pick me up, spun me around and throw me under the bus. So I'm like, I'm done. And yeah, we went round the houses and he expected me to apologise and he was like, I tell you what, I'm not going to sack you, but you'll never play for me again. Leave your tracksuit and your club suit there. You'll never play for me again. Go home and think about what you've done. So like the rest of the lads are on the pitch training. I've just got in my car and driven off. And then Jabo, one of the lads, has rung me after and he's like a proper gossip, Jason Taylor. And he's like, what did he say? What was said? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, just that I'll never play for the club again. That's all he said, really. He was like, well, he's got all the lads on the training pitch that day. And he said, Evo's apologised profusely. He said sorry 3 or 4 times and there's no problem moving forwards. So I'm like, that's not what I took out of the meeting. He was like, Dave was like, what did you take from the meeting? I'm like, well, I'm never going to play for the club again. And he likes a fucking sausage roll on a Sunday morning. So, yeah. And then for the next few weeks, I was just, the lads would be doing training and I'd be at the side of the pitch just running up and down on my own. Lads would be doing.
You just have your training on your own?
Yeah, yeah. So I was just doing passing, they were doing passing drills, possessions, games, small sides, team shape, whatever, set pieces. The whole time for 2 hours, I'm just running up and down on my own on the side of the pitch.
Fuck that, I can't do it.
Non-stop. That went on for like...
I couldn't run for 2 hours. But yeah, my head would be gone.
No, you'd be in the office eating sausage rolls with him.
Get us two next week.
Yeah, save us half, Gaffer.
So, yes, but then I can't remember what happened, but it was something like he brought me back in at one point for one game. I think it was like Wickham at home or something. Yeah, he got me back involved with the first team and I'm training. And then I came on at half time for that game, but then after that, it was like I couldn't work with him moving forwards. It was done.
And you ended up. So that's it, you're leaving. And then in January, so you must have joined Fleetwood 2013. I think I must have left in the summer 2012.
So like 6 months before me.
Yeah, 6 months before you joining, because that's when we won the league and gone up to League Two.
Yeah.
And then you signed in League Two.
Who was that, Mickey Mellon?
Mickey Mellon, yeah.
Yeah. So it was Graham Alexander had just taken over. I was his first signing.
Lucky escape there.
Yeah, so it got to the window, 1st of Jan, 9 o'clock, 1st of Jan, I'm out the building. I just went and signed for Fleetwood. I had 18 months left on my Rotherham contract, I think. Just cancelled it there and then, didn't take a penny. Couldn't wait to go.
Didn't pay you up?
To be honest, I think if I'd have held out for like a few weeks and made it awkward towards the end of the window, I might have got a few quid, but I was that desperate to leave. So 7 or 8 months, I signed for Fleetwood, and then 7 or 8 months down the line, on the way to a home game, and I'm in a car, got a couple of lads in the car.
Who were there then? Were Jamie Maguire there?
Jamie Maguire was there. Andy Mangan.
Mangs, yeah.
Trying to think Junior. Of some of the other, Junior Brown.
Keeper.
Don't know if David Ball there with you, or was that just after?
Who was the keeper?
Scott Davis,
yeah, keeper, yeah.
Top man, Scotty, yeah. So, pretty much the same squad that I do, really, yeah.
It was good. Vardy had left in the summer, and it's to Leicester.
Yeah.
That's why they got Gazzy.
You what?
Gaz was his replacement.
Well, no, obviously, I was thinking if I had left 6 months before, they brought him, obviously wanted somebody else to model the kits and do the calendar.
Good-looking Gaz.
Yeah. Right, we need another good-looking Gaz who can be fetching. Evo, he don't play much, but he's a good-looking lad. Brilliant club.
Yeah,
Go on anyway.
Really enjoyed it. So, yeah, so like 7 or 8 months down the line, I'm driving to the game and we've got two lads in the car. It's a home game and we're on the M6 and there's been a massive smash.
It's not like the M6.
No. Fucking so up. We get stuck. And I'm looking at the time and I'm thinking, we're going to be late for the warm-up here. Like, this is an issue. I said to the lads, I tell you what, I'll ring the gaffer and let him know because we're going to get fined anyway. I'll ring the gaffer and let him know. So I've gone on my Bluetooth, gone down to phone book, press gaffer, just sat in traffic, not moving. Rings a few times and the gaffer picks up. He goes, all right, Evo, how are you?
Oh, no.
And then I'm thinking, like, my cog's a turning now, and I'm thinking, that's not Graham Alexander, that, like. So, and then I've realised I've still got Steve Evans in my phone book, saved as gaffer.
Yeah.
And the lads are, like, looking at me like, who's this? So gaffer is in as Graham Alexander. So it's fucking idiots. I'm staring at the road for, like, 10 seconds go by, and I'm staring at the tarmac thinking, what do I say here? Like, and I just go, oh, fuck off, Steve. Put the phone down. So it was like, I've come across him a few times since then and we just pie each other.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah, it's not even like, hi, how are you doing? Just walk past each
that's
other.
Brilliant. So. You hadn't even wanted to batter him, but because you rang the wrong number,
But that was it, yeah.
The best time of your career, would you say, is when you went to Portsmouth?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Massive club again.
Yeah, yeah.
Massive club, I think.
So I got to the end of my
Fleet. I didn't realise they were in League Two at that point.
Yeah, League Two, yeah. Paul Cook had just taken over. The fans had just taken ownership of the club because they'd had all sorts of massive financial implications and stuff. And they ended up having to all cough up, I can't remember what it was, like 800-900 quid a fan or something to save the club. And they've all chipped, loads of them have chipped in and saved the club. So it was fan ownership, the manager's taken over, and it was just because it was owned by the fans, like I say, the whole city just bought into it, and it was mega.
Was it?
Yeah, yeah. So I got to the end of my Fleetwood time. I had the end of that 2 year that I had with them, and we got promoted at Wembley and stuff. And I played every game
League One with Fleetwood?
Yeah, at Wembley, right. Yeah. I didn't play, but I got promoted. so it was quite a successful time. Played every game in League One that year, and I got to the end, and I was like, I went on holiday with the missus, and I was like, something's missing. Like, I love the club, I love playing for the club and stuff, but I wasn't getting that buzz. I want to play in front of big crowds again. Like, I'd had 12,000 at Rotherham and 18,000 at Bradford. I want to play in front of big crowds. I think it was got to a point in my career where I was like, I'm not going to make enough money to go and play golf every day when I retire. I need to get experiences and play in front of big crowds and win trophies and all that. So then they offered me a new deal and I turned it down. And I just said, I'll just see what happens over the summer. And loads of stuff was coming up, but it was it just wasn't really getting me going. And then it was getting towards the end, getting close to well, it was like, it might have been like a week or two into pre-season, and all the lads are training, and I'm sat at home, and I'm like, what am I doing? Like, I should have just gone to Fleetwood. But then Paul Cook rings up my agent. He's like, come down and let's have a look at him, see how fit he is. He's obviously, he's just played like 40 odd times in League One. He's got something about him. I know I've played against him loads of times before. Let's just see if he's fit. So I've just gone down and done, I went on trial effectively.
Yeah.
But he was like, it's not called a trial because we know all about you. We know you're a good player. It's not like you're an unknown quantity, but we're not going to give you a contract.
Trial?
Yeah, can you come on trial? Yeah. So,
which
voice
did he say that in?
Scouse, but I'm not sure. It's like three different grades to it, isn't there?
Three or four.
Jesus. I'm not doing that accent. Yeah, so I go down on trial and I think it was like a couple of games in, I score, then I score again the next game. So I'm like, well, thinking, oh, they're going to be offering me a deal now. Like, they've seen what they need to see, but it went on for ages. So I was down there for like 6 weeks and they were just like umming and ahhing. Don't know if they were just like trying to find some money from somewhere or whatever. Anyway, they turn around and say, like, here's 12 months on, similar to what I was on at Fleetwood, a little bit less, to be honest, but I was like, Portsmouth, like, I can't turn that down. Like, what a club.
Yeah.
And I loved it. From the minute I was there,
They're 5 years, weren't you, as well?
Perfect, yeah. It was just a perfect fit. Like, the fans, everyone will tell you that's ever played there, Geordie.
Yes.
You played there, aren't you?
Geordie, the other night, I said, it's my favourite ever game in football. I was class. Played against you, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, I was there, but I don't remember it. I don't think I watched. I was like, all right, nice one, Cass.
Showing the highlights.
But I'm watching the game highlights and I'm like, this is an issue because I don't remember any of this. Like, have I got like some sort of, I don't remember anything. Don't remember the goals, nothing. So I don't know if my memory is like a sieve, I think.
Did you play in the game?
No, I was on the bench. We had to look though, didn't we? I was on the bench the whole game, wasn't I?
Yeah, I had to look at the team. I don't even know. Might have been in the stand. Don't know if I was on the bench. I was like, you're here on the bench.
Can't remember anything of the game.
No.
Did you win?
Obviously, rested.
We got beat.
Rested the big dogs that day, didn't they?
Yeah. Resting the big dogs to play against.
I was class as well.
Who are you playing for?
You look good on the highlights, mate.
For Alte. Is that your best game?
It's Portsmouth on it. It was a big crowd.
Yeah. Were they in League One then? Was you in League One?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was my best game until they scored in the 94th minute. Otherwise, we would have had a replay. And we probably should have done better. I should have had another penalty.
Did you score?
Hit the post.
Did you score?
No. I'd give Hanks the penalty.
Why?
I just don't like penalties.
Bottled it.
Yeah, you bottled
pretty
it,
much,
didn't you?
Yeah.
How many fans were on?
How many were on?
I don't know.
They don't even know, remember the game. I don't know why I'm asking him.
There would have been like 13, 14.
Yeah,
maybe.
First people.
Awful.
13, 14 people.
Yeah, there was.
There would have been over 10,000. It was like a good
first round of the FA Cup.
Yeah, sound.
Yeah.
Is that furthest you've been? First round?
What did we get to at Salford? No, second round. Shite.
So
5 years, 5 good years.
Yeah, I loved
it. Promotion from League Two to League One.
Yeah, so first year we missed out on the playoffs. Second year we ended up getting promoted on the last day. We won the league on the last day. We got promoted 5 or 6 games before that.
Right.
It was like, we got to March time and we lost at home to Crewe, and I think we were like 5th or 6th, and the year before we'd lost in the playoffs to Plymouth. So it was like the second time of asking, and the fans after that game were acid. Like hammering us, rightly so, we were crap.
Yeah.
But it looked like the automatics were out of our reach then, and the fans were like absolutely pelting the manager, and it was just one of the worst atmospheres I've had to play in. They'd just gone, like the place had gone, completely turned, because they were just getting angry at the fact they hadn't got promoted. Mm. And they looked like the autos had gone again. And I was thinking the manager was getting hammered, and it was like from the sideline as well. So I thought next day or straight after the game, he's just going to sack it off and say, because I know at the time, speaking to like his mates and stuff and the other members of the coaching staff, they were thinking I'm living 4 hours away from home here to get absolutely pelted. Like, this isn't for me. Like, I'm just going to leave. But all the lads got together on the Monday and like we got together and said, well, like, we need to pull our finger out here. Like we need to start a run. And I think between then and the end of the season, we had 13, 14 games. We probably won 11.
Right.
We just battered everyone. Just absolutely steamrolled everyone. And it got, we kept coming into the last game of the season. We were, I can't remember what it was. I think it was 3 points behind Doncaster and Plymouth. So either of them just needed a draw, I think. And we were at home to Cheltenham where we just steamrolled them 1-6-1. And I think the stat was we were top of the league for 19 minutes. Both of the other two teams lost. So all season we've been like just in the playoffs and might have dipped into the autos and back out. But yeah, we were top of the league for 20 minutes and we won the league.
How mad's that? So they lost on the final day, both them two. You guys won, and I'm presuming you won it on goal difference.
Yeah. No, it might have been a point, actually. I think we won it by a point. So it might have been, they might have needed to win. I can't remember how it was, but basically it came down to the last day.
Right.
And yeah, it was like...
That must have been a brilliant feeling, that.
Yeah, unbelievable. Like, because it was fan-owned, the club was owned by the fans as well.
Yeah.
Everyone bought into it and like, you'd walk down the high street and there'd be like 20 Portsmouth shirts walking past and the whole city is just, because it's actually an island, Portsmouth.
Right.
So it's like us versus you mentality where the whole city just, especially with the football club, because there's no rugby team, there's no cricket team really.
And there's nothing really nearby, is there?
No.
So like that's all the fans have got really, isn't it? The football team.
Yeah. So everyone just buys into it. The whole city just adores the club. And it's...
Big piss up.
Basically, yeah. Yeah.
Must have been after that win. Do you remember where you went?
Yeah, we went out in Gunwharf Quays. So all the wives and girlfriends came along and they made like quite a big deal of it. We had like an area boxed off with 3 or 4 tables. One of the best nights of my life. That was class.
Was it?
Unbelievable, yeah. It's like top of the league. Like even if you think if we win today, there's a half a chance. But you're thinking, nah, it's not happening, nah.
There's only one thing that can top this night out, and that's Whitby on Saturday.
That'll be up there.
Whitby on Saturday.
Imagine that, big piss up in Whitby.
Fucking brilliant. There's no way that every lad's going to make it on the bus on the way home. No, sack it off and stay over.
Yeah.
Some lads are staying over, aren't they?
Some are thinking about it. There's like Airbnbs in Whitby for like £6, so...
Definitely stay. Definitely stay. So I know you touched on it before. So you had an amazing 5 years at Portsmouth. Then obviously it comes to the end and you end up going back to Bradford. I know you touched on it before because you're saying that they're still training in the same place. But like, what made you do that decision?
So, yeah, so the sort of the last season, well, I had 2 years left on my contract and we'd won at Wembley in front of like 86,000 people and... like moments like that where you're looking back and like, I don't want to go anywhere. So I signed a new deal, loved it, signed another 2.5 year deal. So it got into like, I saw the 6 months off of that deal and then went into the next year. And then that next year I was like in and out. I was playing quite a bit, scored 5 or 6 goals, I think. But then COVID came in. I think it was that year, COVID came in, like February, March time and all play stopped.
COVID came in on the right wing.
Yeah, Lee COVID. Came in anyway. Who are you? I'm Lee COVID. Best right winger at the club.
So all play stopped and it was wherever you were in the league. So I think we were like 5th or 6th. That's where you finished. Didn't train for like 3 or 4 months and we ended up losing in the playoffs that summer and then went in for the next season and it just wasn't the same. The manager wasn't playing me as much. I still had another year to go on my deal, but the main reason why I was down there was for the fans, like I said before. And with COVID, there's no fans there.
Yeah.
Me and Aisla just had a baby. We had no help. So my mum and dad, her mum and dad were like up north. We had no help from anyone. And it was like, what am I doing? Like,
yeah.
5 hours away, 4 or 5 hours away from home. Let's get back up north.
We need a babysitter.
Yeah, basically, yeah. So that was like a massive
time away from this kid. So odd.
And the relationship with Kenny had, like, Kenny Jacket had just run thin and loads of stuff went on. We'll end up sitting here for like 3 hours talking about him, but
I've got golf at 12:30. Come on.
It went on. It went on for a while, and I think it got to the end of the transfer window, and they signed Michael Jacobs, and I wasn't playing a massive amount anyway at this time.
Michael Jacobs.
So he was at Wigan, and
that's crackers.
Crackers, yeah. That's what everyone calls him, yeah.
Did it?
Yeah. You crackers, what? Yeah. Everyone calls him Crackers.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
Shit.
So I knew about him. I played about him before, and lads in the changing room would play. Like, obviously, I know he's a good player, so I'd go into the training ground the next day, and the gaffer texts me, and he's like, can you come and see me? I'm like, right. So I make my way down and sit with him, and it was always awkward conversations with Kenny. I'm not going to go too much into it because I'll be here forever, but he's just sitting at the floor, staring at the floor, talking to me, and he goes, yeah, Michael Jacobs. And I'm like, yeah, good signing. And he's like, yeah, so you're not going to play very much. It's like, right, okay. So I'm not going to play at all then. He's like, yeah, you're going to play, but Michael Jacobs. I'm like, right, okay. But he just kept saying Michael Jacobs. I'm like, just fucking stop saying that name. Like, I know we've signed him. And he just goes on and on about Michael. And he's like, so what do you want to do? And I'm like, well, I'll just see how it plays out. And if I don't play very much, then I'll go. And he's like, yeah, I think that's what's best. But he didn't, because he didn't want to say, yeah, we want you out. You wanted it to come from me. But I didn't say it. I was like, if I'm not playing very much, then I'll look at what else there is. I'll move on. He's like, yeah, I think that's best. So I'm like, right, okay. So then it got drawn out for like 2 or 3 weeks towards the end of the transfer window. And a few clubs came in and there were sniffs. There was like, I think, Bolton and Salford and Blackpool and quite a few. And then Bradford came back in and I was like, well, do you know what? I'll go back there because it's been 15 years. I know the club. Like, I'll go back there and just...
Is that how long it were? No,
it might have been 12 years, maybe.
Right.
But it's a long time, so...
Yeah, big change.
So,
league are you in? We're still in League 2. All right, where do you treat... Yeah, still at the school? Oh, right, okay.
Nothing.
Is Janice
changed.
There, the dinner lady? Yeah, Janice is here, yeah. No, don't worry.
Leon. Leon's called, yeah. But nothing's changed. There's no kitchen at the training ground. They're still training at the same place. So they've just got 3 microwaves and they just bang your meals in them. Like, there's no nutrition or anything on the go. Everything's just so old school. It's a joke. And I'm just like, I can't believe this. I'm like, fucking all this 12 years has gone by and it's literally exactly the same. I knew within a week of signing there that I'd made a mistake, to be honest.
Oh, really?
I could tell by the quality of the squad that we had, the infrastructure of the football club, nothing had changed, nothing's geared towards promotion or success. And I knew within a week of going there, I was like, this is a nightmare. But it was worse because I left Hazel and Atlas down south, wife and son. So they were like 4 hours away and I was just living in a hotel, but I went up with the view of buying a house.
Sounds perfect if I'm honest.
But COVID coming in.
Yeah. What are you complaining about? Yeah.
Ideal situation, isn't it?
He has to say that.
Yeah, where's the bad bit here?
But I'm like, I'm missing my son like mad, to be honest. But I'm like, I'm in a hotel room and COVID comes in again. And it's like,
I late.
Second right, here he is again. Second lockdown and everywhere's shut. I'm in this crap hotel in Bradford. Like, there's not even the kebab shops are shut and that. Like, I can't go and watch a film on my own. Like, nothing. I'm stuck. So I'm just driving up and down to Portsmouth all the time. Like, twice a week. 4 hours down, 4 hours up. And it was just not ideal. So like I say, the second lockdown came in and I'm trying to buy a house. And it was impossible. Like, I think it took us like 4 or 5 months to buy a house and eventually ended up getting Hazel and Atlas to come up and we rented somewhere and it was just like, it's just not an ideal situation. It was just loads of things were just compounding and Stuart got the sack then. Then they gave it to the under 18 managers for the rest of the season. Then it got to the summer and they got rid of him and then Derek Adams came in and I was like, that's just my luck. Like, because we had previous anyway.
For a little bit.
Well, he was the Plymouth manager I was at Portsmouth and I'd be like captain and we'd go in the referees' rooms and there'd be like words exchanged and like I was playing right back at the time and I'd be like, another position, go and take a throw in at the edge of the pitch or whatever and he'd like get the ball and hide it behind him and I'm like picking him up and throwing him out of the way and loads of stuff went on.
And then he comes in as your gaffer.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
So there was a game where I think it was 2-2 and we got interviewed after the game by the press and Derek's gone down and done all the press and we battered him, but it was 2-2. And then they come down afterwards and the press have gone, usual, like, how do you think the game went, Gaz, blah, blah, blah. I went, yeah, I thought we were really comfortable in possession, creating loads of chances, usual stuff. And he's like, well, Derek's just said that they popped you off the park. So, like, what's your take on that? And I'm like, what? Like, this guy's, like, not right. He's not wired up right. So I just go, well, I couldn't really care less what he's got to say. He's an idiot.
No.
No interest in what he's got to say. He's an idiot. So next day, Portsmouth News headline. Evans says Adams is an idiot, doesn't know what he's talking about. So I'm like, this thing goes like all over Twitter and that.
Yeah.
And then there's like, every time we play him after that, there's just like bad feeling between us. And then that summer we got lined up with all these different managers and then Derek Adams' favourites with the bookies and I'm sat at home thinking, please no, don't be him. Fucking him, innit? So it gets signed and I'm like, that's just my luck with managers, that.
Yeah.
Couldn't believe it. So, yeah, he was a strange cat, to say the least, like really strange. So I don't want to batter him too much because it doesn't really look good, but I haven't really got a good word to say about him. But he came in on the first day of pre-season and I'm thinking, this isn't going to go well. He's like, I'm gone. Like, I'm going to have to move and find another club. I can't work with him. So he comes in and we all go in the meeting room and there's like 10 minutes go by and he walks in. And normally as a manager, when a manager comes in, he'll say what his philosophy is, say what the plan is for pre-season, if we're going away, where we're going for pre-season, Spain, Portugal, whatever, all the usual stuff. And he comes in and all the lads are sat down and I'm last in the room because I've been in the gym. So I'm sat right at the front and he comes in and he stands there and he's like, all the lads are looking at him and he goes, I haven't got a problem with you. So I'm like, right. He's like, it's water under the bridge. There's been loads made of it. I haven't got a problem with you.
Scottish is back here. Yeah.
Scottish, like, there's a theme here, isn't there? Yeah. It's like another Scottish one. And I'm like, of all the things that you can be talking about here, like, what are you talking about me for? It's weird. Like, if you're going to do it in the office.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't say anything else. He's like, right, get your runners on. We're going out on the track. So then everyone's
the thing
like,
is, though, he's highlighted that. He's obviously has got a problem with it still, hasn't he?
Yeah, but that's what, yeah. So that's what I took from it. So I'm like, the fact that he's mentioned it shows that there's a problem. And then moving forwards, all the lads are walking out of that room thinking, what's gone on between you two? Like, it wasn't even anything bad.
Just don't mention it.
Yeah. Just don't mention it.
Evo, any regrets or anything in your career?
Apart from coming on here.
And
Radcliffe.
Radcliffe, yeah. Nah, no regrets at all, really. I look back at some of the moments and think, I wish it panned out in a different way, like the Michael Flynn tackle at Bradford, and that my whole career would have changed if that never happened. And we played Sunderland in the playoffs at Portsmouth in the second leg and I missed a header from like 3 yards out and I'm like, if that got in.
Yeah, you can't dwell on them.
No, that's what I mean. The only little things like that, really, but I think some players like you like latch onto managers, don't they, and like make a career of it.
John T. and Bird.
100%.
My guys.
And they go everywhere with them. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm quite pleased with the fact that I can look back and go, everything that I've achieved, I've sort of done it myself, I've done it my own way. And it might kill me a little bit at times, but yeah, look back and like I played 600 games in the Football League. And
yeah, it's brilliant.
Three promotions and played at Wembley in front of 86,000 people and stuff that, like, look back and go, don't really, like, doesn't really resonate. Maybe in 10, 15 years' time, I'll look back and go, that was amazing. But,
mate, it is amazing and it baffles me, like, now you've done all that and now you can't even play for Radcliffe. You can't even get on the pitch.
That's John Owen Byrne.
No comment.
Mate, it's been an absolute pleasure to
Cheers,
have you
lads.
On. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
guys. Evans.